On September the 11th, 2001, a number of planes crashed into some buildings in New York City. For about 2 days, there were people who were still being pulled out, rescued, alive. These people, they were almost dead, but not quite. In July 1997, Stuart Diver was buried for 65 hours, that's more than 2 days, after a landslide in Thredbo. Everyone died except for him. He was almost dead, but not quite. In Kashmir last year, in October, there was an earthquake, and about 100,000 people died as a result of this earthquake. But there was one girl who was pulled from the rubble 8 days after the quake. I've got the newspaper article here. That's not her, that's some of the survivors from the earthquake. Here's what it says. A young Pakistani girl was pulled alive from the rubble of the Kashmir earthquake on Sunday, 8 days after it pulverized a wide region. 8 days after the earthquake, she's trapped underneath and she survived. She was almost dead, but not quite. So the survivors on September 11 that were rescued from the buildings, Stuart Diver and this Pakistani girl, they were as good as dead. People didn't think they'd be alive. But then what happened? They were brought back to life. But in the end, they weren't really brought back to life because they weren't dead. They were almost dead. Now, this week, what we're going to be talking about is being brought from death to life. Okay, that's what we're going to be looking at in the Bible each night. And the key verse, if you turn back to page 7, it's in huge writing, page 7 in your booklet, from John chapter 5, verse 24. This is what it says. It says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Now, the person speaking there is Jesus. And do you see what he's saying? He's saying that the key to being brought from death to life is hearing and believing. You got that? The key to being brought from death to life, we're going to look at this every night, is hearing and believing. Hearing what? It's hearing the word of Jesus. Believing what? It's believing God. Okay, there's the key to being crossing over from death to life. And that's what we're going to continue to look at. But the question tonight in particular, turn back to page 9, that might be helpful for you if you want to take some notes. The big question tonight that we want to ask of this Bible passage is, can people really be brought from death to life? We had some fantastic drama students from year 11. I actually checked, none of them do drama, which was probably quite evident. But thanks, boys. Oh, sorry. Did. Okay, that's good. You don't do it anymore. Don't go back. No. Be encouraged. Just try harder next time. You got the question, can dead people really be brought back to life? Can someone who doesn't have a breath of life in them be raised to life? Now, to help answer this question, we're going to look at the passage that was read out for us, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. If you haven't got a Bible, it's on page number 9 there, beside where we're looking at. Page number 9 is where the Bible passage is. And we're going to see two things from this Bible passage. The first thing is we're going to see who you really are, and the second thing is we're going to see who you can become. So the first thing, who you really are. Who you really are, in verses 1 to 3. Paul, he's the guy who wrote this book. It's really a letter, and he wrote it to a church in a place called Ephesus. And the Christians that he's currently talking to are a bunch of Gentile Christians, that is, people who weren't Jews, people who weren't formerly part of God's people until Jesus came. And he's speaking to them, and in verse 1 to 3, he outlines who they were before they became Christians. To summarise what he says, you might like to write this down. They were dead. Before they became Christians, they were dead. Have a look at verse 1. As for you, you were dead. Now, unlike Stuart Diver, unlike the Pakistani girl who were almost dead but not quite, the Bible is saying that before the people in Ephesus became Christian, they were dead. Now, what does it mean for them to be dead? Were they physically dead? Well, no, they weren't physically dead. They were walking around, they were breathing, they were talking, they were skiing. I don't know if they would have been skiing in Ephesus back in the day, but maybe. They had breath in them, Yet they were dead in a different way. Have a look at verse 1 again. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. How were they dead? They were dead in their transgressions and sins. Now, those two words, they're slightly different, but they've pretty much got similar meanings. In there, they're both talking about rejecting God. That's what sin is. It's our whole attitude of saying, get lost, God. It's our whole attitude of telling God he's not going to be God and I'm going to be God. That's what sin is. And look at verse number 2. It says, in which you used to live when you followed the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. What is it? What's these transgressions and sins? It's following the ways of this world. Verse 3, there's more. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful natures and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. See what's going on there? It's the whole self-service, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature. That is, pleasing ourselves. That is, having me as number one. Not God, not other people, me at the centre of the universe. So when it talks about being dead, it's not talking about being physically dead. It's talking about being spiritually dead. That is, dead to God. Even though they're physically alive to God, they are dead because of sin, because of their disobedience, because of their self-rule and trying to run life their own way. Now, in 1995, there was a movie called Dead Man Walking. Have you heard of it? Yeah. Have you heard the term before if you haven't heard of the movie? Give me a nod if you've heard the term, Dead Man Walking. Yeah. Basically, the idea of Dead Man Walking is that someone is in jail and they're waiting to be killed. Okay, they're on death row. They've received the death penalty for whatever reason. They're in jail, and they're called dead men walking. And the reason is, as they walk from their cell to be executed, they call out, "Dead man walking, dead man walking, dead man walking." I think it was is it The Green Mile? Is that a movie as well? Yeah. He says it a few too many times in that movie. But do you know why they say it? It's because here's this guy. He's physically alive, but what's about to happen? He's about to be killed. He's going to be very, very dead very, very shortly. It's just a matter of time. And the Ephesians, before they became Christians, they were dead men walking. Although they were physically alive, they were dead where it mattered. They were dead to God. And the truth is that all of us here, at one time, from verse 3 it says it there, either before you became a Christian, if you're currently a Christian, or maybe now, if you're still dead to God, all of us at one time have been dead men walking. And verse 3 says that we are by nature objects of wrath. What's wrath? It's talking about anger. We're by nature objects of God's anger. God is angry with us because we've disobeyed him. And rightly so. He has made us. He has loved us. He has lavished his love upon us, yet we've told him where to go. Now, this week, I want you to understand that the true state of all of humanity is not that people are good, is not that people are okay with God. I want you to understand that without Jesus, people are dead. People are dead because of the way that they've treated God. Now, I can remember school assemblies at my high school. They were pretty good. Our principal was a fantastic speaker. I don't know if you ever reflected on your principal and what they're like at giving speeches at assemblies. But ours was really, really good to listen to. He gave good speeches. He never had any notes at all. I'm sure he probably thought about it before he spoke. There was one day in particular that he got to me a little bit. I can remember this one particular long speech, which was getting a little bit too long. And do you know what he was saying? He was saying that our school, most people were basically good. Have you heard that before? Have you heard that? And that there's only a couple of people, the ones who throw things out of the train and the one who stole all the computer discs. You don't have computer discs anymore. Back in the 90s, we had computer discs, these little hard floppy disc things. No, not the big ones. That was primary school. We had the big and floppy ones. But during this speech, what did the principal say? He said, all of you are basically good. You're great kids. You're great people. It's just a few people who spoil it from time to time. By and large, people have good hearts. People are okay. Do you know what? That's not true. People aren't good. Why? Because all of us have told the creator of the universe where to go. You've done it. I've done it. Every single person throughout history has told God to get lost. Everyone, every single one of us. I can even remember at university, I studied primary school teaching, and there's a lady, it was the tutor, what are they called?
Tutorial
teacher lady thing. And we're talking about behaviour of children. And she was saying a similar thing to my principal. Do you know what she said? She said, kids are basically good. I was a little older now than when I was in high school, so I put my hand up and said, what about Adolf Hitler? And do you know what she said? She said, I'm sure that Adolf, in his way, was basically good. This is someone teaching teachers to be teachers. What a lunatic. But do you know what Adolf Hitler did? He was responsible for the murder of over 6 million Jews, plus millions and millions of other people. Is he basically good? No, he cannot be basically good. He's not basically good. He was not a good man. The Bible shows us that every single one of us, in the end, is in the same boat as Hitler. You may not have killed 6 million people. My guess is we'd probably struggle to find someone to have killed 10 people in this room. Hand up if you've killed 10. Okay, we've got two. Note that down. That's 20 collectively. Wait, how many did you? 18, okay, yep. How many did you kill? Oh, okay. If this was an auction, you would have just bought a house. Don't scratch your head at the wrong time. It's false. What my principal was saying, what my university teacher was saying, people aren't basically good and sometimes do some bad behaviours. People are no good. The Bible shows us this time and time again, that we are enemies of God because of the way that we've treated him. There is no one good, the Bible says. There is no one righteous. So don't believe the lies that the world teaches, and probably your teachers at school may even teach you similar things, that people are basically good. The message of the Bible is very, very clear, and I want you to feel the weight of it tonight. Without Jesus, left to yourself, you are dead. You're dead to God. Can I encourage you tonight to be real? Recognize who you really are. You're dead and you've got no hope. You've got no hope. Which makes our question from the start even more important. Why? Because it's personal. Can you remember the question from the start I asked? Can people really be brought from death to life? Why does this question now matter? Because we are dead. We really want to find out if we can be made alive. Because the picture at the moment is bleak. Because dead people can't do anything. But, B-U-T, that's one of the most important words in this part of the Bible. I think it's one of the most important words in the whole of the Bible. The next verse, I think, is an amazing verse. As we look at verse 4 there, we're going to see who you can become. So the second point there, Paul explains who you can become. And it's because of something incredible that has happened. But, have a look at it, verse 4. But, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Can people really be brought from death to life? Yes. Why is it that people can be brought from death to life? Well, it's because of how loving God is. It's because of how kind God is. It's because of what Jesus did when he died on the cross 2,000 years ago. When he died in our place. And he rose to new life that we too can share in that new life. If you tonight are a dead man walking, that is, you're dead to God, you can cross over from death to life. And the way that we cross over from death to life is not by anything that we do. Now, there's a movie, I think it was probably in the 1980s, called Weekend at Bernie's. Hand up if you've seen it. Hands down. Scott's got it on DVD. That's bad. Well, we've got two people. Okay, in the movie, basically, I saw it in the 80s. I saw it as a young'un. Basically, Bernie, I think, is probably this one in the middle. They go to stay at his place. Is this right? Give me nods if I'm saying the right story. They go to stay at his place. He dies early on in the movie. So what they basically do is they hang out at the beach and have people over for parties. Because he's dead, they sort of pretend he's alive and they sort of prop him up and they'll put his sunnies on him and they'll sort of wave his hand from a distance. He's dead. He cannot do anything. And so they have to do all the things for him. Do you know why that is? Because dead people can't do anything. They just sit there. like this. They may not have a smile on their face. It depends how they die. Dead people can't do anything any more than dead goldfish can do anything. What can a dead goldfish do?
Float.
It can float. There's nothing more that it can do than float. Wait, sometimes they even get flushed. Sometimes they sink if they're heavy ones. I don't know if that's true, so don't take me up on that one. I think they normally float. But dead people can't do anything. And it's the same with us. Just like Bernie, just like a goldfish floating on the top of water, if you're dead, you are powerless to do anything. You can't bring yourself back to life again. Imagine you're on the table here and people are trying to resuscitate you because you've lost your pulse, you're not breathing. Have you ever seen someone with those jumper things going boom, to themselves? Have you ever seen that? That doesn't happen because when you're dead, you can't do anything. There's nothing you can do to bring yourself from death to life. Do you know what? But you can be. How can you be brought from death to life? But God. But because of God's love for us. It's totally from God. That's why he uses the words in there, mercy and grace. I've actually heard those words a few times today. I think Tom said it a few times. A few times when people have said grace and things like that, they've used the words grace and mercy. Does anyone know what they mean? Definition for the word grace and mercy. Mercy. Give us a go.
Oh, I have grace.
Oh. Okay, unachieved kind of giving, getting there.
When you don't deserve something, but you're given it.
Okay, I think that's grace. Okay, mercy is the opposite of that. Mercy is you've done something bad, okay, and you don't end up suffering the consequences. That is, not getting given something that you do deserve, something bad that you do deserve. Got that? Not being penalised for something that you do deserve. You got that? That's mercy. And another way of saying that is God is kind. He lets people off. So there's what mercy is. It's when you get spared from a penalty that you deserve. Grace, a couple of people picked it up, is basically being given something great that you don't deserve. Being given a fantastic gift that you don't deserve. And one of the best gifts of grace I can think of is a birthday present. What have you done to deserve a birthday present?
Got older.
No, you haven't done anything. You've done nothing. Your birthday has nothing to do with you. If anything, we should actually start giving birthday presents to our parents because they're the ones that have done the work. Grace is getting given something you don't deserve. Okay, and the Bible here is saying that God has given us something amazing that we don't deserve. God has rescued us from judgment. That's what we deserve. He's shown us his mercy, yet he's given us the gift of eternal life, which is also something that none of us deserve. Now, I've got a quote that's going to pop up on the screen. This is from Bono. Bono is the lead singer of U2, and there's a book that came out a couple of years ago called In Conversation with a Person. Now, I'm going to read to you this quote, and I think Bono seems to understand something about grace. Let me read it to you. You see, at the centre of all religions is the idea of karma. You know, it's conversational if you can't work that out. You know, what you put out comes back to you. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, or in physics, in physical laws, every action is met by an equal or an opposite one. It's clear to me that karma is at the very heart of the universe. I'm absolutely sure of it. And yet, along comes this idea called grace to upend all that as you reap, so you will sow stuff. Grace defies reason and logic. Love interrupts. The consequences of your actions, which in my case is very good news indeed, because I've done a lot of stupid stuff. That other person? I'd be interested to hear that. That's between me and God. What a good reply. But I'd be in big trouble if karma were going to be finally... Sorry. But I'd be in big trouble if karma was going to finally be my judge. I'd be in deep poo. It doesn't excuse my mistakes, but I'm holding out for grace. I'm holding out that Jesus took my sins onto the cross because I know who I am. And I hope I don't have to depend on my own religiosity. How good's that? He knows who he is. He knows that before God, he is dead. He cannot do anything to make himself alive. He knows that he's done stupid things. And he is depending upon not his own religiosity, not his own doing of stuff. What's he depending on? He's depending on grace. He's depending on when Jesus died upon the cross, that was enough. That work of someone else, that merit of another is what would get him through. Can people really be brought from death to life? Big question. Absolutely. And it's not about doing stuff. That's what religions are all about. What you do, you pray five times a day to this particular direction, you give this, like you do all these things. Christianity, following Jesus, is not about doing stuff. It's about trusting in the one who's done it all for you. Can you be brought from death to life? Absolutely. It's about trusting in Jesus' death and resurrection. And if you do, you can be made alive. You can be made alive, and that happens when you put your trust not in yourself and your own religiosity and your own goodness, but in Jesus and what he has done. Now I've got a final question for you. Who are you? Who are you? Are you dead? Or are you alive? The first half of what we've looked at tonight, verse 1 to 3, we've looked at what a bunch of Christians were before they became Christians. What were they? They were dead. They were following the ways of this world. They were following their own selfish desires, and because of that, they were objects of God's anger. Now, this week, we're going to think more about this. We're going to continue to reflect upon these things and reflect upon what Christ has actually done to bring us from death to life. And tomorrow what we're going to look at is another great passage. We're going to look at how it cost Jesus enormously to bring us from death to life. But as we close, I want to ask you that question again. Who are you? Who are you? Be real. Are you dead to God? Or are you alive? If you're still dead, that is, you're still ignoring God, you're still living with yourself as your boss, you're still basically saying, God, get lost, whether you're using those words or just turning your back on him and ignoring him, if you're still dead, can I encourage you this week to look at Jesus, to check him out, to see what he has done so that you can be made alive. He's the one and he's the only one and the only way that you can be brought from death to life. If you're not still dead, my guess is you're probably alive. And that's you tonight if you're a Christian. If you already know Jesus, if you already trust in him, if you've already turned from worshipping yourself to worship God, you've been made alive. And I want to leave you with some words and encourage you with some words from the great urban poet, Jennifer Lopez. She said in a song a number of years ago, "Don't be fooled by the rocks that I've got. I'm still Jenny from the block. I used to have a little, now I have a lot. No matter where I go, I know where I came from." Did you see that last line? That was a pretty good rap, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you. Boys to Men were going to sign me up, but I knocked it back. Did you see that last line? No matter where I go, I know where I came from. No matter where I go, I know where I came from. She remembers where she's come from. If you're a Christian, don't ever forget that you were once dead. Don't ever forget that God is the one who's made you alive. Don't ever forget that you would be helpless without Jesus. And don't ever forget to continue to trust in him. I'm going to pray. Dear God, we thank you for tonight. And we thank you that we can listen to your very voice. We thank you for this word to us in Ephesians. And we thank you that it shows us the true state of all people. We pray that you would help those of us here who don't yet know you to see Jesus and see him clearly and put their trust in him. And for those who already know Jesus, we ask that you would help us to not forget where we've come from, but to rejoice in the fact that Jesus has brought us from death to life, and to seek to live for him, and to continue to tell others of God's great love and mercy that brings us from death to life. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.